Hey, it's fitting that my good friend Dave got to do announcements just now because now I have the mic. So we'll see how I use this privilege this morning. Hey, for those who maybe haven't met me yet or if you are visiting, my name is Andrew, and recently I just came on staff at The Journey to lead our youth ministry. So, yeah. Yeah. So I'm really excited for this new season and new journey that I get to be on with you guys. This morning, I get to round off our guest speaker series. Len took a few weeks to pray and reflect and get ready for his new series coming up, and so I get to speak to us this morning and bring a word that God's kind of been putting on my heart. Len asked the different speakers that have been up the last few weeks to share something like a life verse or share something that God's shown them this summer. And so that's what I get to do. So today's message is just a one-off message. And then next week, Len will be back kicking off a new series for our church. So, hey, a couple things of to catch up on. As Dave said last week, some business before I get things started. I want to let you know that I've had a great summer. And that I have learned a few new things. One thing I've learned just last week was how to golf. Ah! So my good friend Austin taught me and brought me out to the Yampa Valley Golf Course and taught me how to, well, tried to teach me how to play golf. He did teach me a lot, actually. That was a lot of fun that day. That is Austin right before teeing off or, no. No, he's already teed off. Yeah, that's a number seven. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he's about to hit an eagle right after that, right? And I joked, I texted someone, I said, yeah, no, Austin didn't hit an eagle. Like, he didn't score an eagle. He hit an eagle. No. No, he didn't. well, we had a lot of fun that day. The other thing I've learned this summer is a new experience, and it was promoted on stage to my, not dismay, but a lot of you came out, and it was fun. I have photo evidence, if you weren't there, that I did enter the Demolition Derby in Craig this year. So there I am. Yes. That's my car, number 18. That was the year I gave, 2018 was the year I gave my life to Christ. So that meant a lot to me, so I picked that number. It was a good run. There I am. First thing I thought when I got out to the ring before we started during the grand entrance was, I gotta get a selfie. Like, this is my moment. All the crowd, the energy, people were there. Whether they were chanting my name or not didn't matter. So, had to get a selfie at the packed stadium, you guys. 1,200 tickets were sold, standing room only. Like, they were turning people down at the door. You know, I think a lot of people word got out that I was going to be in this thing. So I don't know. And the Hampton clan was pretty much everybody else. So I was honored to be a part of that group. Had a ton of fun that night. I felt really supported, though, because I even had a group from The Journey come out and watch. I'm a part of a young adults group. And so they came out. So felt a lot of support. We had a good night. I was safe. The Lord protected me. And I put a little cross on the back of my bumper as well. I was like, okay, Lord, just, you know. And I had a short run. I'm going to say I had technical difficulties with the car. But the bottom line is I did drive it off at the end. And someone came up to me and said, Andrew, this is Demo Derby. We don't think you're really supposed to, like, drive the car off at the end. Like, that's not how... That's not how this is supposed to work. But I'll get them next year. Because the car still runs, I can enter it for next year. So, I've really had a good summer, and I'm excited for the fall. I'm going to, unlike my other times speaking, put on a timer because I've been told I have limits here. So, bam, started that off. This morning, our main passage is going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. So if you want to flip there. And as you flip there, I'm just going to pray. Father God, we thank you for this day that you have made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Pray that you would speak in me and through me this morning. Encourage this body with your truth, your word, and the light that comes from it. Encourage us this morning, Lord, and remind us that we are your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and this is in the ESV. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This morning I'm going to kind of break down this passage and specifically verse 10 for us. And through it, I hope that we learn that God has his saving work, and it is his work, and then there's our work. Saving work, his work, and our work. I love this verse. Len asked me to speak on something that meant a lot to me, or a life verse. And if you follow me on any social medias, this is kind of cheesy, but this verse is in my bio, because this verse means a lot to me. And there are a few different translations, and I like certain words in different translations. So what I've done this morning is I've put up three different translations, and maybe you're used to reading one specifically your whole life, and so you're like, oh, this is blasphemy, I can't read another. That's okay. That's okay this morning. We have three different versions for us this morning. So in the ESV, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that's our ESV. In the New Living Translation, the NLT, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. His masterpiece. And I love that translation because it reminds us that God thinks we're pretty special. God thinks we're pretty something. We are his masterpiece. And so I've titled this message a God's masterpiece, because the way he's made us, designed us, created us is as his masterpiece. He's the artist, and we are the masterpiece. And then in the NIV, it says, for we are God's handiwork. Handiwork. I also like that translation because it's like he's made us, he's designed us, we are his handiwork, like he crafted us, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. I also like that, in advance for us to do. So either way, either version that you have in front of you this morning, slight differences, but it all portrays the same idea. So we're in Ephesians. I'm going to give us a quick summary, because one of my friends and mentors, Austin, loves context. So I'm learning, okay, with a passage, let's give a little context here. And I know we've been in Ephesians before, but just a little summary for us. So, the Apostle Paul wrote Ephesians, right? No surprise. This book is an epistle, meaning it's a letter. He sent this letter to the church in Ephesus, which is now a part of modern-day Turkey. In case you didn't realize that, I did not before this. Paul spent 3 years there, and it's believed that he wrote this while he was in prison in Rome. Ephesians is intended to encourage and reinforce the unity in Christ of the saints at Ephesus, to give instruction, I love this line, for interpersonal relationships. When I filled out a job interview, well, like a resume once, I put under special skills, interpersonal relationships. Because I thought that sounded like professional. But I think that just means like being with people, spending time with people, listening to people. For interpersonal relationships and to exhort the saints to remain in a fighting stance against the spiritual forces aerated against them. So to embolden them to stand firm, because the enemy is out there and prowls around like a lion. In this period, the young church had attracted both believers who had previously been followers of Judaism, like Paul himself, and those who came to their faith from the Gentile and pagan communities. So he's kind of speaking to this a large swath. Okay, our first point, saving work. Grace through faith and not works. His work for us. So, I'm emphasizing, I'm going to break down verse 10 mostly today, but right before that, in verse 8 through 9, it says this. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace through faith, not works. We have done... Whoa, there's my water. Maybe that's my reminder to take a drink. We know this, but sometimes we need to be reminded of this. That there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. We're a busy culture, we're busy people, and we work hard. And maybe sometimes we think that because we work hard in our jobs and in our families, that in our faith we also have to work hard and check boxes. But that leans more towards legalism, and I think what this verse is saying is through grace we have been saved. Through grace. And works comes later. Through grace we have been saved. His work, Christ in you, your testimony, his work in us. When you meet Jesus and have a, our stories look different and our testimonies look different, but when you are fully accept and say, okay, Lord, I want you to come into my heart and come into my life, then you are living, he's living in you. And everything else kind of flows out of that place because now his Holy Spirit is dwelling inside you. And so that's our testimony, is when we have an experience. And maybe for a lot of us in the room, it happened at a really young age. I was 5 years old when I first asked Jesus to come to my heart. And after that, my walk looked kind of ups and downs, right? And I kind of rededicated my life when I was 18 to Christ and really, really fully surrendered at that point. But that's what it is. Christ in us is our testimony. Whenever we fully surrendered and said, okay, Lord, I want you to use me and grow me, that is what he gets to do through our testimony. But that's what our testimony is. It shows his work in us. And, you know, we say that there's, when we're living not in Christ, we're walking one way, we're moving, and then when we accept what God has done for us, the free gift of salvation, we turn around and we start moving another way. It's like a 180. And I think some of our stories, and I know testimonies in the room, would reflect that when Jesus has really come into your life and changed your life, everyone can see that there's a difference. Everyone can see that there's something about you that's now different. And that, I think, is beautiful. A lot of our CR friends have really powerful testimonies and walking in one way before Jesus and walking in another way after. I want to encourage you, though, that even if your story is not dramatic or on the outside like a huge, crazy story, that change can still happen in your heart. Change can still happen in your heart, and you can still be walking with the Lord before you met him and after. The change can still be visual. It might just not be. It's just different for all of us. And I grew up with a story like I felt like my testimony wasn't that powerful because I wasn't doing crazy things before meeting the Lord and then stopping those crazy things. But however the Lord meets you and changes you from one direction to the other direction, that's powerful. That's his work. Okay, and then we have our work. Following our passions and God-given passions. His work through us. His work through us. After you've made that decision to follow Christ, you want to do good works. You want to serve people. In general, there's this, like, okay, now what? Now I've given my life to Christ, now what do I do? There is this idea that when we fully surrender, the passions that we were using for maybe just our own self-interest or promotion, then we can turn around and use to glorify God. So I've set it up here before, but I really do enjoy pickleball. Dave reminded us of that last week. But what's interesting is, like, I used to do it because it was a sport that I did well in, and I was maybe prideful about that. Last year, I had an opportunity to start teaching a class in Hayden and teaching pickleball. And what I've been able to try to do is use that passion that God's given me to now really be intentional with the people that are showing up. And I know there's people in this room that have taken the class. But I've been able to invite people to church from that class, share my faith, in transition, and you know, and about what'd you do this weekend? Okay, well, I bring up church, I bring up ministry. I've invited people from there to the Young Life Banquet, and they've got to see kind of a bit of the youth work we do in town. So, a passion that I had really before making it intentional was maybe not being used super well, but now it's a passion that I still have, but I'm trying to use it to share the gospel and bring people in to meet Jesus. So I think that's one way that our work can be, after we have that change in our heart, we can be using passions, gifts, and I've said it before, and talents to then bless others in our church and bless others in our community. Recently, I got to go to Wyoming for a hike, and yeah, Wyoming, and it was really, really, really cool. It was beautiful, and I got to go to Medicine Bow Peak. Maybe some of you guys have been there before, and I got to see a beautiful mountain. Yeah. And I was blown away. It was the view, the just being in awe. It was a beautiful day out. And I was just struck with how beautiful creation is and how in awe I am by looking around and realizing that God has made creation intentionally and beautifully and with purpose, on purpose. And he's made that. Then I start to think, he's also made me that way. In his image, on purpose, for a purpose. And in this passage, it says that we are his masterpiece. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. There's something beautiful about us after being made new in Jesus. Creation is beautiful, but God calls us his masterpiece. He calls you guys his masterpiece. And that took me to a place of awe and wonder, even more than just looking at creation, thinking what he calls me is even better than that. And maybe we forget that sometimes. Maybe we don't really believe that sometimes. And I have to remind myself of that. I think we need to remind ourselves that we are created in God's image and in his likeness, and we are his masterpiece. Craig, you are his masterpiece. Joe, you are his masterpiece. Chandice, you are his masterpiece. Sam, you're his masterpiece. Dave, Pickleball Dave, you're his masterpiece. Girls in the back, Maddie, masterpiece. Yeah, just let that sink in. Okay, I was challenged this morning to I wanted to break down this verse. And so we talked about verse 10, and now I'm just going to kind of line by line give us a little bit more context about this verse. So the first part in verse 10, we are his workmanship. So this, we'll go back to the translation where it says workmanship for this purpose. Workmanship literally means a thing of his making, or his handiwork. So the word poema or poem, his workmanship, a thing of his making or his handiwork. So that's why different translations will say workmanship or handiwork or masterpiece. But he has made us. He has made us. He's crafted us. The Bible says we are knitted together in the womb. On purpose, for a purpose, right? We are his workmanship. Okay, then it goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you are in Christ, you are now a new creation. Your old ways have gone away, and you can walk in the newness and fullness and life of Jesus. I've experienced that in my testimony, and I know many of you guys have in your stories. Yeah, and that's what makes us the body of believers. Not the perfect body of the believers, but the body of believers. In Christ, you are a new creation. And again, new creation, but even of more value than creation. God's made our earth, but his prized possession is us, is his kids. God was lonely and wanted kids, and so God made man. And we're his prized possession. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Galatians 5:13 says this, for we were called to freedom. Brothers, not only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. But through love, serve one another. It's pretty clear. We are called to serve, called to do good. To do good works. Again, in verse 8 it says we're not saved by works, but saved by grace. So once you've been saved, then you can go and do good works. Once you're in Jesus, new creation, then we go and do good works. Then we serve. Then we bless others. There's a lot of good people out there that do a lot of good things. And I know our church partners with a lot of different organizations and nonprofits because we believe in doing good work. But I think there's a difference. There should be a difference when believers do good work and the image we're presenting. We're not just doing charity in our community to pat ourselves on the back or to cross off our community service or to get hours. And maybe in school, you have to get hours of community service. But I believe Scripture isn't calling us just to do those things, to check it off and be, okay, I'm done. I've done my good works. Been a good person for the day or for the week, for the month. I'm done. I think it's a greater calling to do good works and to serve because of what he's done in us first. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our last line. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 3:12-13 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith. Walking with boldness and confidence. God has created things for us to do. We believe he's omniscient, all-knowing. But we get to walk in that. He's prepared a path for us that we, through being obedient, get to walk in. That we get to walk in. This past week, I got to go on a trip. I just got back last night. I'm sorry, my shoe came untied, and I'm tripping myself. So I'm going to just take a time out here and tie my shoe. Because I would hate to topple over in front of all of you lovely people. Joe, could you catch me, though, if I did? I just got back last night from a week in Georgia, and as you guys, most of you know, I am also on part-time staff with Young Life now, helping Dave run Monday nights. And so because of that, they sent me to a training, a new staff training, because I need help. I need to be trained. So this past week, I got to make some friends, and I think I have a photo of them. Yes. These are people from the Rocky Mountain region. They are new staff members in the past year that have come on that also are going to be working in the same area as myself. And then in the middle is a longtime Young Life alumni, Todd Laws. He was my small group leader. I was so encouraged by his stories because he's been on Young Life for 34 years. And he's been doing good works for Jesus and impacting the lives of kids for 34 years. And he got to meet with me this week in our small group. And if I can emulate a life like Todd, serving faithfully and enduring the race that God set out before me in ministry, I would be content. And I don't know how long I'm going to be in ministry. And this call to serve is not just for those in ministry. But I'm encouraged by his testimony and his faithfulness to good works and to serve and impact kids. And it was a great time to meet fellow Young Life people and young believers. A lot of them are in their early, mid-20s and just passionate for Jesus and passionate in sharing the love of Jesus with our kids in our community, with teenagers. So I hope to be able to do good works through this group and being a part of Young Life. And I was encouraged by the training. I'm really grateful Dave sent me there this past week. I've come back full and filled, and I'm really excited to launch our ministries. We're starting youth group this Thursday night, Sunday school starting soon. And so it's been an opportunity for me this summer and then this week of training to be filled in order to be able to do more good works, to keep walking, to be able to do good works. So that's why I share you that photo. All right. closing summary. Ephesians 2:10 provides a powerful reminder that God has given us the gifts of His grace without asking for a single thing in return. He doesn't expect us to repay Him for grace, while God does not expect any return payments for us, from us. He does expect a return on His investment. The work of grace in us results in some very real change in our lives. Like I said earlier, when you've met Jesus and know Him and are walking with Him, your life does change. So, I want us to remember these three things. Saving work. His work for us. His work, what He's done. His work in us. The change of our hearts. The change of our trajectory. And our work. His work through us. How we get to impact our community, our town, our world. This morning I want to close, before I bring up the team for our last song, I want to close in a slightly different way. So last week Dave brought up the energy. He brought the house down, really. It was awesome. The kids came up, the song, the dance. This week we need to recover from that. So I'm going to slow things down. And I'm a high energy person, so this is hard for me too. But I'd love to do an exercise with us. And this is something I learned in Georgia this past week at training. And it's called a breath prayer. Also translated, a prayer of the heart. And this tradition comes out of the Eastern Orthodox Church and can be found as far back as the 3rd century, people practicing this. So what I would love for us to do is I have a few phrases that I've put up. And so what you do is we breathe. We breathe together. And we will insert a word at the start and at the end. And the origin of this is because apparently the word Yahweh, back in the original text, it was said that it didn't really have vowels. So when you said it, your breath, you'd go, so our breath, it emulates the name of Jesus, Yahweh, Lord. Our breath, every breath in our body brings creation back to its creator. I think that's pretty profound. So with that in mind, with our breath giving creation back to its creator, I want us to breathe together and just kind of reflect. You can close your eyes. I want this to be a moment with you and the Lord, and I just happen to be up here facilitating. What I've put up there for us is, help me fully surrender. So what we'll do is we'll breathe in. Help me, after you breathe in, breathe out, fully surrender. Help me fully surrender. Do that a few times, and then I'd like to say it together. All right, let's breathe in. Help me fully surrender. Help me fully surrender. One more time. Help me fully surrender. Amen. And our last one, made in His image to do good works. I want us to remember that. this morning. We're made in his image. We're his masterpiece, made in his image to then go out and do good works. So we'll do the same exercise again, first on our own and then together. Made in his image to do good works. Made in his image to do good works. One more time. Made in his image to do good works. Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you that you've made us, designed us on purpose, and for a purpose. God, you know the paths you've laid out ahead of us, and you want us to do good works, but because of the love we've received from you, because of your grace of salvation, Lord, help us walk in these good works. Encourage us to see needs in our town, in our community, in our families, and meet those needs. Thank you for the ever-changing work you're doing in our hearts to bring us closer to you, to call creation back to its creator. And we thank you for making us your masterpiece. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this closing song together.
May favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children, and your presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, and make choices.
Bless you. Have a great day.